Hello, everyone. This is the Gingerbread Man, and I would like to welcome you to my home. Thanks for showing up. It means a lot to me. Let's get on into it. So I had a stupendous morning this morning. I often find myself being, I guess, led towards certain psychedelic situations, you know, and there's, of course, a lot of people will talk about set and setting, which is always important, but I happen to find my doses happen very randomly sometimes, and it's more about whimsy, you know. And so I do like to ingest in the morning. It's one of my favorite times. I used to take them a lot at night, but nighttime is just a lot less interesting. When you're taking a visual thing that has a highly visual component, you know, it's just, I find it a lot more better to have a little bit of daylight and sun. I like to sit outside on my back porch and, you know, eat my breakfast in that headspace. It's one of my favorites. Not to say that there's anything about a night journey that's not interesting either, you know. And this, none of this should be recommendational, and in no way, you know, suggesting any sort of, you know, this isn't a tutorial at all. This is purely just my own ruminations about these situations, you know. And I didn't really think I was going to be doing anything this weekend, but I woke up this morning and I don't know what had gotten into me. And I took quite a large dose of silly mushrooms, the mushroom with the gills and the cap. And I was shocked by what happened because I had honestly eaten more just a couple weeks ago. And I had a very sturdy head on my shoulders. And yet this morning, less different strain, of course, is a different being altogether. Yet I found myself thrust into a completely different world that I was not accustomed to. I was trying to read because most of the times I can take a close-ish amount and read on it, and I find it to be highly compatible with the learning state of mind, and in imagination, even in fiction, it makes things very colorful and pop out, something that I also find very helpful about marijuana. You know, it's very not likely that I'll ever sit down and read anything without a little bit of marijuana. Yet, like, probably 10 minutes into attempting to read half a page of a book and being torn away with the loss of concentration and confusion that was already beginning to ensue, I felt a tremor from the future, if you like, you know, while still very cool-headed, you know, only 10 minutes in, I knew what was coming. I felt a disturbance in the force, if you like. And yet, so I immediately bunkered down and put on some music and laid down in bed and was shook by very colorful and flagrant visualizations and hallucinations across the entire breadth of my visual foci. You know, it is the most apparent where you're focusing, but peripherals can get very insane too. And that's part of what a highly visual state can be, is when everything in your vision begins to kaleidoscope and to form some sort of full wholeness, which is very hard to describe. And I know I might just sound mad by depicting any of this shit in words, because they shouldn't be even tried to be said in words, but the medium of the show is an audio, so that's what I will mean to be doing. I made it about 2 hours and I started to get very cold, which is something that I've also noticed about large dosages of serotonergics, is that I've also been told that it has something to do with capillary function and blood flow, but I'm not even really sure about that. But things just start to get cold. And I was under like 2 blankets in the middle of the summer, but just cold, you know? And so I climbed into my bath and I soaked up the hot water for a means of time, and I enjoyed it. And then I was able to get out. And then as soon as I get out of my bath and as soon as I shower off and stuff, my dad has a surprise visit for me, which he just crashed my house. And I was startled because Odin just came into the bathroom like, "Hey, Dad, Papa's here." And I was like, "Fucking what?" Because I was just almost damn near out of my mind, you know, hovering on the edge of fear, right on the precipice of deciding to be fearful. And all of a sudden, one of the scariest men, not scary, but endearing. Whenever I approach my father, I generally want to be put together, you know, just because of respect, maybe. And he just came in and I was half naked trying to get dressed and, you know, and very discombobulated and confused. And my father decided after I requested for a little bit of help, he was giving me a little bit of cash for groceries, which I'm not even embarrassed to say I had to ask for help this week. It's been a struggle with summer and I've had to leave work a couple times because of my son's behavioral difficulties and the whole holistic setup that is involved and all that, you know. And so I asked for help. And that's why he showed up, and I should have been more aware. And I didn't hear my phone ring because I was listening to music on my phone and the music cut off and I could have realized that. Yeah. I was so fucking startled, man, you know. And yeah. And so I figured that situation out. And then once I had the cash, I made some breakfast. And like I said, I sat outside for probably about 45 minutes and just ate slowly. I had some grapes and I had a piece of wheat toast and I had 2 eggs with a little bit of hot sauce. Very simple, but it was amazing. And then I packed me and Odin up and we went to the grocery store probably about 4.5 hours in. And usually I'm like all the way down, but I was still pretty fuzzy. You know, I was well okay to drive. And the grocery store is like a block away. And I wouldn't have gotten in the car if I wasn't having visuals anymore. But it has an effect on your brain. Like even now, I'm looking at probably 7, almost 8 hours away from the initial dose of the mushroom. And I can still taste it in my brain, even though science says that the half-life of this thing is out of my blood. It ruminates. It's like throwing a rock into a pool of water, and then you have those vibrations that continue to tremor through it for a while. So I can still feel the fuzzy smoothness of everything, even now. And we get to the grocery store, and it was just so nice to have a little bit of freedom because of that financial assistance and not having to be worried. And so I bought a bunch of fruit because that's what my brain wanted and that's what I desired in that moment was fruit. And so I bought a shit ton of mango and I bought some kiwis and I bought like 5 different plum hybrids because I was curious because I haven't had any. You know, I just bought a bunch of fruit and I bought staples and I bought things that we needed and just all the comfort that comes with the stability of having the things that you need to support yourself. And I was very grateful. And after leaving, we called my dad back because I was a little bit more stable at that point in my head. And I was able to thank him for everything that he'd done. And Odin thanked him as well. And it was a very cathartic moment. And I'm just so grateful, you know. Being able to take help has always been hard for me. And asking for help has not been something that I do. And something about people who are highly self-sufficient or at least think of themselves as that, even though it might not be the actual case, because the ideal of what we hope for doesn't always mirror our outside performance. And if we're only ever seeing what we think about the situation, we're very blind, you see. So we get home, we put all the groceries away. And then I had promised Odin that this weekend, if he had done really good at school, which he did get hurt. Him and his teacher were throwing a frisbee, and he was smashed in the face by the Frisbee on accident and had a laceration above his eyebrow that was approximately about an inch long. But with the location and the fragility of the face, you know, it just split open and everybody panicked. And so I had to leave work and go get him, which was a stressful situation. And then we went to urgent care. But luckily he did not need a stitch, which would have been hard. But he was so cool-headed, guys. It was phenomenal to see just how cool he was. And there was another kid that had gotten to the emergency room as well and had a similar cut on his face and was bleeding actively through it, whereas Odin's had stopped. And Odin was only just concerned for him, which was a beautiful thing to see. And I'm proud of my little man for being so tough through it all. Yet, besides being hurt, he had also done very well listening and minding. And there was even a time where his teacher told me that he almost wanted to get back revengefully against somebody who had spurned him, but instead the teacher saw him get up and ask for help. And they even told me about it, and it was just good feedback to have, you know. So as a reward for this, my father bought him a kite, and I had promised to take him to Skate City. A little bit of background info on me. I was a very clumsy kid. I was overweight, and I have a really bad posture, so people used to call me Quasimodo. And I got teased a lot. I remember being called fat ass in elementary school. And I was typically pretty good at inline sport, like snowboard and skating I could get because you put a dominant foot forward and you just ride that one line. But my clumsiness when I was a kid, I wasn't quite capable of being able to manipulate 2 feet and 2 centers of balance. And so I remember giving up very quickly. And I saw a lot of kids that were young and just struggling at the skate rink. And I was just like, damn. But like a lot of them just kept gung-ho and kept trying. And I'm sure Odin was like that too. But you see the kid now, he's graceful. I mean, he just jumped up out on that field and he was rocketing through people, you know, recklessly, almost aggressively. But he was cool, and it was really cool to see him do it, you know. And I'm sitting here like fucking Bambi. Man, I was so scared. I was terrified because I was still pretty fluffy when we got to the skating rink. And I'm thankful for that too, because I was able to get out of my anxiety and fear and inhibition. I could see the fear and I just pushed it aside, and I took it really, really slow, you know, mind you. But I just did it intuitively. When I learned how to drive my car, the manual transmission of the car was very similar. I had nothing to compare it to, and it was literally like building a new piece of my brain to be able to drive the manual transmission. And it was rocky and it took a while. The learning curve for skating, I feel like, was easier because at least I was using my body, and it was much more intuitive than manipulating a machine where you have a much bigger body, you know, and you have to build a model for the car in your brain as well. And so still I was scared. And even on the carpet, just trying to put around on the carpet, I had busted my ass immediately. Within like 5 minutes, I fell and just lost the balance. And so when we got on the hard floor, which has whatever they do to make it slippery and nice, man, I was just scared. And I just went so slow. I was probably going half a mile per hour the first 2 laps for 15 minutes. And then I'd have to take periodic like pauses where I'd go sit out because I could feel my heart rate getting high from fear. And as soon as I'd start to get anxious, my performance would go. And that's when I would slip and fall because, you know, you're manipulating a lot of different factors. And honestly, my brain was putting out a lot less output as it does if I was completely sober. And so like, yeah. But it was slow too. So I was able to look at it awarely and see my temperament rise. And as soon as my heart rate would start fluttering higher, I would sit out and I'd take deep breaths and I could get calm. And as soon as I'd calm, I'd go out and I'd watch it. And it was just easy, you know, just intuitively. And I got faster and faster. And Odin was skating with me and we were holding hands. And it was like those moments in the movies. And then there was this really cool fucking guy. He was old as shit and he had like a pink shirt on and he was just skating like a figure skater, like backwards and forwards, and like doing like pirouettes and like dance maneuvers to the music and tempo. And I was just blown away because I could just barely push myself forward, you know. And then of course there's children skating even better, you know, just like Odin was completely outclassing me. He would go around six times in the time it took me to go around once, even at the end. And as my knees got tired, it got harder to maintain my cool. And so after about an hour and a half, Odin had fell. And he had hurt his ankle in a way. And I think it was more of an abrasion from just rubbing. I think it was because his shoes were loose. But, you know, I started to get more tired. And then I felt my endurance fall, you know. But the whole moment was very therapeutic. And it felt just like driving. And I want to go back. Immediately, I felt an addictive tinge towards learning a new physical activity, which it's been a while since I've tried to do something new and physical. Art is finer in detail, but gross body skills, like, you know, operating motor vehicles or doing sports or doing these weird things. I feel like dancing. I feel like I might get into dancing at some point. You know, like, it's such a nice feeling to build that new brain tissue, which is really what I believe is happening when we do these things, is we have to build new models in the brain. And it's different than just learning facts and ideas. And I do really think it's healthy. And yet you can have somebody who's highly physical and well-learned in the rote maneuvers and routines, and say somebody like, when I used to be highly physical, I used to go to the gym in the morning and I'd run 6 miles in the morning and I do weights at night after work. I was spending a lot of time on my body and the physical. Yet after a while of being bored and doing the same things over and over again, there's nothing learned in the activity, and you could still exert yourself without learning. And so it's the action of learning new gross body skills that I find very interesting. It had me thinking about it, and it felt very nice, especially to be able to do it with my son, which was very nice. I'm very grateful for today. It was a very nice day, you know, and I had a couple frustrated moments where, when you're sensitive, it's easier to get frustrated, but when you're sensitive, it's easier to be aware and to see it too. And so, you know, I know exactly three separate moments that I got frustrated, which honestly, I've been getting frustrated a lot during my daily life. And so, you know, remarkable to be able to have the opportunity to be able to look at it like that. And yeah, but each time I was able to notice it quickly and to get my cool. And I remember I was frustrated when we were on the way to Skate City too with Odin, because he had taken my keys out of the house and didn't even tell me that he was leaving the house. And so I get out of my room and I have no idea where my son is. So I'm yelling out the back door and whistling, and I get no reply, which is not usual. So I look for my keys. My keys are gone. I'm like, what the fuck? And so I'm heated and scared. And I left the house, and the little fucker had gone out and turned the car on to listen to music and was just sitting in the front seat. And I was like, dude, you cannot take my keys and do this. This is not okay. This is wrong. You know, I was very sensitive. And so, like, even on the way to Skid City, I was still feeling the reverberations of this frustrated energy. And I remember there was a hidden part of my conscious, subconscious, that peeked out in a small voice, and it was just like, this moment is short, you know, such a short moment, just wait a moment, a couple moments from now you'll feel differently. And when you're sensitive, you're completely inhabiting the space, and you're feeling all of the things that are happening to you, and all the influence and phenomena of the environment and the outside world and all the inputs. And when you're sensitive, it can get overwhelming. But you're completely locked in that moment because you're lucidly experiencing. You know, there's no daydreaming or autopilot happening, you know. And so it's a particular moment. And I don't even think this is a chemical thing. I think there's a lot of sensitive kids. I think I was a sensitive kid. I think my son is. I think some of my siblings are sensitive. And I think the society is becoming more sensitive because of the exposure and how we're socialized and how we're evolving as a group consciousness. You know, the group consciousness is growing too, you know, and it grows a lot slower, and it has a lot of steps and stages and classes it took even decades or generations ago. You know, hundreds of years ago, the group consciousness may have got bad lessons, you know, but it's still infantile and it's still ignorant, but it's growing. And we're heading towards just much more opportunity, I think, is the best word, because people can become fragile as well. And fragility is habitual, and it's a habitude that comes from repeated expression to a reaction, you know, and I want to carefully explain that. Whenever anything happens in the phenomena, we react to it, and I don't think it's even 100%, you are responsible for what you do and your actions, but your reactions to situations are built up habitually. And it's like a game of chance. Like, even to simplify it, even a two-headed die where you have heads and tails, there's a 50-50 chance for how you can happen. You can be cool or you can lose your cool to any situation, say. You know, but over time, we weight the chances by rubbing the coin or the die or whatever so that it becomes more likely for it to fall on that side. Like, say, like a like bits of the metal start to shave off, and so it's weighted. It's a weighted die at this point because of habitual tendency. I think I had an old metaphor, which was a while ago, probably episode somewhere in the teens, race cars in the snow, maybe. I think my brain's telling me episode 11, but that might not be right. But if you're walking through a heavy snowfield where there's 6 feet of snow, and somebody's already been through the field, are you going to trudge across it and make your own path? Or are you going to follow the footsteps that you encounter, you know, say? But you are both people who have walked across the field. It's not a stranger at this point. We walk paths in our brains and we build habits. And so when we react to something, it's not 100% chosen because we already have paths that we're inclined to do. And it can be harder to pick the other side of the dice that isn't weighted heavier. And that can be a hard emotional choice, you see? And so these are things I've just been thinking about today and looking at my frustrations and my reactions, because that's the biggest thing that I want to affect in my life, is to lower my frustrated energy and my aggression towards it. As I've spoken about on the show, I think it's possible to have a relationship of sorts with the world. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I think that's what spirituality is some sort of relationship with the outside of whatever is inside, which would be the internal phenomena, which is a whole nother world of shit. But, like, I want to have a relationship with the outside, and I want it to be a positive relationship. I want to be loving. And I've just been getting frustrated and bitter. And I think that's part of aging. And in a society that's built so materialistic, it doesn't have a lot of safety precautions and measures set up to help people emotionally feel good. And that comes from community, and that comes from therapy, and that comes from a lot of shit, you know. Yet I found myself getting bitter, and I don't want to be bitter. And that's what I've always been working on in myself, is how to soften myself and how to be loving. And that's what I teach. That's what I'm trying to push on this show, is an idea of love, you know, an unconditional, unconscious love, a spark of divinity that's inside everything, every bit of life. Brahma, if you like. And I've been experiencing full, unheated, sensitive love today. And I'm grateful for it. And I'm graceful for it too. You know, I misspoke, but I think it also is evident. So, yeah, I guess that's what my episode has been today, is just telling you what I did today. And that's okay. I hope you enjoyed it. Maybe you can relate to it. Maybe you can't. That's cool too. I want people to be creative, and I want people to be inclined towards making their own meaning system and their own relationship with their worlds. And I want that to be less frustrated and less aggressive if possible, you know? So I hope that you can relate to that, even if it's not through chemicals, that you relate to the story. Maybe it's through children. Maybe it's through parenting. Maybe it's through just subsisting in this life, you know? But your path may be very different from mine. And I almost hope it is, because I think it'd be boring if everybody walked up the same shit that I did. And I think it's possible to trudge a new path through snow and to build new brain pathways and to build new reactions and new appreciations of life. And I hope that your world view is very different from mine, because it could be diverse. And I hope you can teach me something from seeing a different part of the mountain that I'm walking on. My email address is very available. And I hope that we can have some sort of discourse sometime. Please reach out. You can also find me on social media through the Gingerbread Man or the Gingerbread Man's Dialogues, which I have a Gmail account under the same name, which is in the show notes. So you can click it and copy it there, since it is lengthy and long, especially if English isn't your first native language. But I would like to make this a community venture. And if possible, maybe we can speak and you can teach me something. Especially if you disagree with me. I play with books a lot, and I put out a lot of factual dates that might be inaccurate. So please catch me, and I'll call myself out on it, and we can make this a better show educationally as well. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for listening to me, and I appreciate your ears and this chance. I appreciate being able to speak right now. It means a lot. So, let's do a random Tao verse to finish off the day. And then we'll ask Odin how he's doing and get his little segment. And my favorite segment that ends every show, Ask O. Because he's a very intelligent little man that has grand ideas. And he taught me a lot today. He taught me how to skate. He helped teach me teach myself. Which is what parenting also is. It's so beautiful. Anyways, let me go grab my book. So this week I'm reading from the translation by William Scott Wilson. It's a new version, I guess. This is from verse 32. So here it goes. I didn't even look at it before we started. The way is unchanging and is without name. Though it is unvarnished, state may seem of little account. It is subordinate to nothing in this world. If lords and kings were able to keep it in store, the 10,000 things would surely follow their lead. Heaven and earth mutually unite, and sweet dew descends, without people's command. It falls equally of its own accord. When you begin to divide and arrange, names are at hand. And when names are already at hand, you should know that it's time to stop. It is by knowing when to stop that you will not tread on dangerous ground. To give a comparison, the way's existence in the world is like rivers and streams flowing into inlets and seas. Wu Wei in Action, which is a heavy piece in Zen Buddhism as well, because I've also been reading Huang Po's One Mind. And it's also what I was thinking about and slightly discussing earlier when I was at the skate rink. As soon as I would start to try to learn and try to not do things, it wasn't intuitive anymore. And I wasn't feeling my body, and I wasn't allowing my brain to create new material, because I was almost stepping in and writing over code that wasn't written yet with thoughts and feelings. And this created anxiety and lack of performance. I've seen it at work as well. My boss is a very angry man, and he has shook my confidence levels in a lot of ways, where I used to be very professionally confident in my movements. I was always been very good in the kitchen and forceful because of my confidence, and he helped destroy that, which was necessary in order to learn more, you know. But when he is mad and getting under my skin, when I don't have my own self-solidarity, I perform like shit just because I'm scared. You see? And so in life, flowing into the sea and becoming one with the inlet is returning to the void by not choosing, by not depicting, by not naming, by not trying to do the situation anymore. It requires to allow the rain to fall and things to be. As the Beatles said, just let it be. Not having to do anything at all, just being. You are a beautiful being. Hope you know that. All right, let's go see what O has to say.
Hello, people. This is Asko and the Gingerbread Man. My dad started this off. I was just watching YouTube, so I think I'm ready. So
you're always ready.
We just go skating, so I teach my dad how to skate. Except he weren't least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think I was doing it?
Yeah, you're doing it.
Did I pass your seal of approval?
Yeah, you actually did.
You were really cool. You should see him go, guys. He's incredible. He's fleet foot. He's fast and swift. He does a lot of cool tricks. I even saw him jump out of the skating rink. He was flying.
Yep. Yeah,
he's super cool. I'm proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
You have any other tips and tricks? What would you tell somebody about?
No, that's it.
How would you tell somebody how to learn how to skate? What would be your biggest thing, your best piece of advice for skating?
Skating first and showing them.
Showing it how?
Yeah.
What about something you said when we got in the car? Do you remember that?
Yeah, skate and push.
Look over here.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Bye, people. This is the Asko and the Gingerbread Man.
Thank you, Will.